Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In the year of earthquakes, tornadoes, crazy weather and ash clouds, we should need no reminding of the economic risks posed by natural events. And the biggest environmental risk of all is, of course, anthropogenic climate change. But are all the people who should be paying attention actually doing so? No, says Dr. Robert Howell, the chair of the Council for Socially Responsible Investment, in a recent article for New Zealand Investor magazine. In particular, he says, our banks aren't paying proper heed to carbon disclosure when they lend money. Robert Howell is with us now to explain. Welcome, Robert.
Hi.
Now, are you saying that banks should change their investment habits because they're failing to recognise the risk in poor carbon policy, or just because it's the right thing to do?
Any company or any investor wants to identify risk. You don't want to put your money and then have it go down the tubes like we have seen during the last 3 or 4 years in New Zealand and overseas. I mean, that's a lose-lose for everybody. So if you're an investor, you want to actually put in your money to a company where the risks are calculated. And if you're looking at risk, climate change is one, peak oil is another, if you are a company that is highly dependent to the vulnerability of the price of oil, if you actually haven't factored that into your strategic planning so that in 5 years' time, when the price of oil doubles, triples and so on, and you haven't taken that into consideration, your likely returns are going to go down the tubes.
How do you measure the degree of preparedness for that sort of risk?
Well, you look at the various reports that the companies have produced, and a number of them will say, we take climate change seriously. So if you go to the Australian banks and you look at, say, the Commonwealth Bank or the ANZ or National Bank of Australian Bank, they all say up front, we actually believe the science. We take it seriously. If you look at what they're doing in terms of water, they don't want to lend money to companies that actually haven't done their homework in terms of these sorts of risks. That's got really nothing to do with ethical investing, though it's highly related. It is a straight business risk analysis.
And that's quite intriguing, because you don't have to go far to find a politician who doesn't believe in all this stuff, say Don Brash, and yet these big companies have recognised the risk and they're proceeding on that basis, aren't they?
Well, Don Brash hasn't really changed his thinking from the 1970s, so what else can I say?
is that a risk that the banks are taking into account around the changing climate, or is it a risk around known issues of water supply and access to water for businesses and areas?
The priority for the banks, the main banks, has been to put their own house in order. So if you look at the new building that BNZ has put it down at the bottom of Queen Street, they have taken into account a whole variety of climatic and other factors. So they're building buildings to take into account these facts. There are other banks that are doing this as well. So you go to their websites and they say, we are putting our own house in order. Where the real challenge is in their lending policies. So if you look at Westpac, I talked with Westpac people last year, and I said to them, if I want to take out a loan for a batch on a beach that in perhaps 20 years' time is going to be underwater or seriously eroded, how do you factor that into account? And they said, we don't. And that's why I think Westpac have actually lost the plot. They were a leader in sustainability 5 or so years ago, but the other banks have actually caught up and taken over, and they are factoring in these sorts of things, but they're not doing it well enough.
Can I take you back there to carbon and energy? Would it be a situation where you'd like to see these banks not being involved with coal mining companies and coal exporters, for example?
That's the real challenge. If you look at the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, they're quite clear at the head office about the threat of climate change. The ASB Bank is not. It has not signed up to climate change. And so you have to say to them, why not? Why do they have a different policy in New Zealand and in their Australian masters? And give us good reasons, the scientific reasons, why they shouldn't. In terms of coal, the Aussie banks are going to be really seriously threatened, because the major income from Australia, that's where its wealth comes from, is supplying coal to China.
Exactly. And right. So while they may be able to build a ecologically sustainable flagship bit of greenwashing in a big building, unless they're going to change their policies about dealing with the big producers of carbon, it's not really going to change much, is it?
Correct, and that's the challenge. But if you then start to say, well, the Australian banks and the Australian economy is highly dependent on China, if you read a recent report that was summarised in The Guardian about the environmental impact of and conditions, the status of the environment in China, it's dismal reading. The majority of their rivers are you wouldn't want to drink out of. They are heavily polluted. Now China is recognising the impact of climate change, and it's doing a lot in terms of renewable energy. And from a medium to long term point of view, you wouldn't want to put your money into supplying coal to China, because in 5 to 10 years' time, it will swing away from coal to renewables.
Are these issues much discussed in the investment community? I mean, you got the article published. Is it a widely held point of view, what you're saying?
Generally speaking, in the investment community, I don't think this is taken seriously. They tend, by and large, to have short-term risk. We've just been talking with the Auckland Council. When they do their analysis, their cost-benefit analysis, they use the Treasury rate of over 30 years, the price of oil doubling. Well, that's just simply not going to happen. I mean, it'll double at least in 5 years. So I think that the mainstream investment and economic so-called gurus take short-term. They don't really recognise. Generally speaking, they're conservative, and they define risk in a traditional, narrow kind of way. So, I supervised a PhD student a few years ago, and she analysed the reasons why people invested in New Zealand. Less than 10% of people invested simply for profit return. They wanted to get some return on their money, of course, but they also wanted to take into account other factors. One lady said, as I drive down the North Island, I actually want to see green forests, and if I have a chance of putting my money so that it not only gets return, but it keeps the forests there, that's what I want to do. And I don't think enough of the traditional investors have really significantly taken this into account.
But if you're saying that the price of oil is going to double in the next 5 years, that implies that the rubber's going to hit the road pretty soon, isn't it?
Yep.
People are going to have to pay attention.
Yep. And so so if you're looking at companies, you want to look at companies that you're going to invest in and funds that you're going to invest in that take these into account. Portfolio 21 is a fund in the United States. It's a smallish fund, but they have a very good criteria. They say right up front, they've set up since the 90s when they got going, we are only going to choose companies that take the environmental issues seriously. And they invest in companies that aren't 100% adequate, but they work with them to try and encourage them to move. And one example is Google. Now, Google is taken some very interesting initiatives in renewable energy for its IT operations. It uses a lot of energy, but it's very conscious of improving the efficiency of its computers, and also choosing sites for its service where it can plug into renewable energy in significant kinds of ways.
Well, these are fascinating issues. Thank you, Dr. Robert Howell, and I'm sure we're actually going to hear more of them in the years to come.
That was Dr. Robert Howell. For more information on the work they do, head along to www.csri.org.nz. Coming up after the break, we learn what a slut walk is and catch up with one half of Pitch Black.